law.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning, and I've got a programming note for you, just to make you aware. Coming up at 9 a.m., we will not have South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Chris is a little bit under the weather. He's okay, but he's just, you know, not feeling well and doesn't want to come in and make everybody else sick. So he's going to be taking the morning off, and I reached out to our fill-ins, and nobody's available. So coming up at 9 a.m., we'll have the best of Howie Carr for you. And I can tell you this, it's not the same Best of Howie Carr that you heard on Saturday. It's a brand new Best of Howie. Because I just loaded it into the system. But yes, Chris is under the weather, so we'll, you know, Brian's got some things he's got going on. We're already overworking the poor guy, as it is. But he's got some things going on this morning, so he's not available to come in. Paul Santo's not available to come in. Of course, Ken's still out, so we'll bring you the Best of Howie Carr. Coming up from 9 to noon. And then Barry Richard will be here at 12, well, right after Bill O'Reilly at 12:15. Then we'll have Howie Carr again with a brand new live episode, live edition of the program. And then, of course, at 6 p.m., Freedom Fools with Brian Thomas. And if you haven't caught up with Freedom Fools, it is available via podcast. You can get them at WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, and you can get them wherever you get your podcasts from. Right now, though, we are going to be shining a spotlight, the South Coast Health Community Spotlight, on an organization that we want you all to know about. And we are joined now by J.J. Bartlett, the founding president of Fishing Partnership Support Services. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So tell us about Fishing Partnership Support Services, what that's all about.
Well, I'm J.J. Bartlett, and I'm founding president of Fishing Partnership Support Services. We're a Massachusetts-based nonprofit, and we've been delivering on our mission to improve the health, safety, and economic security of commercial fishermen and their families for about 30 years now. We have port offices in Massachusetts, up on the North Shore, South Shore, out in the Cape, and of course, down here in New Bedford. And we serve about 20,000 fishing families throughout New England. Wow. And run programs like safety trainings from the Canadian border all the way down through the Carolinas.
So what might those trainings be all about? Like, what would they learn in one of those sessions?
Well, so all of our trainings, the ideas for all of our trainings come from the fishing community. So we have one of our cornerstone programs is a safety training program that was created by fishermen and run by fishermen and other mariners, so that we light fires and the fishermen put them out. They learn how to plug leaks, light flares, all hands-on training. We also have first aid training, for example, and it's not the standard, show up and call 911. We have a wilderness training that shows you how to keep someone alive and healthy for the time it takes to get services out to you. Ambulances just don't go where the fishermen fish.
So yeah, in the old days, you'd go out on the boats and you'd learn these things as things happened. And then you'd have to kind of react in the moment, but you're able to now give people that education ahead of time, so that when something does happen, they'll know exactly what to do. So what exactly has been, you know, some of the positive change that you've seen since this organization was formed?
Well, what we've seen is that fishermen are want to be professionals. They show up for trainings and have been showing up for trainings. We have a huge demand that we can't meet. So, there are a lot of people that said that if it's not required, fishermen won't come to the safety trainings. And, you know, if you have a 2-hour training that gives them their CPR license, why would they come to a longer training Well, the answer is because it's their livelihood. Mm-hmm. They want to keep themselves safe. They want to keep each other safe. And we're very lucky about that because we need the fishermen.
Well, when you look at some of the ways that things have been done, as you said, you know, just using the CPR as an example, there's the shorter way to do it, and there's the more in-depth way to do it. And, you know, time is money, especially in the fishing industry. But to show the dedication then that they have to safety, it shows that it isn't all about money. It's about kind of that, you know, you're a partnership, but also the partnership that these fishermen have with one another, that they want to make sure that everybody comes back from every trip in one piece.
They really are. That's exactly right. They really are heroes who risk their lives to feed us. And they're also first responders at sea. So you're exactly right. The fishermen train themselves not just so that they can help themselves and help their crew, but they're out there as first responders for other vessels, including recreational vessels that are out at sea. And so what's amazing is it's not just the fishing industry protecting themselves. It's really the fishing industry protecting our oceans, and all in the name of bringing us fresh seafood.
And you mentioned that, you know, you hear a lot from them themselves about the kind of things that are needed. So they're coming to you and saying, you know, what we think would be a really beneficial program is if you gave this kind of training. So they're actually giving you that real world experience. And then you can take that and figure out, well, how can we now present that in an educational model?
Absolutely. And it starts with learning their needs, like you said. And unfortunately, you know, as much as we need the fishing industry because of the economic engine that the fishing industry provides to our state with over $1 billion of revenue, New Bedford being the largest port in the country. In addition to us needing fishermen, they really need us as well. And the reason for that is occupations that have high rates of pain and injury on the job have been left behind by the 21st century. And fishermen, for example, they don't get paid if they don't work. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they have to work through pain, and that's incredibly stressful. It's also incredibly stressful to have everything that you do at your job be dependent on forces outside of your control. So the weather, you know, fuel prices, government regulations. And then when you add to that, that half of fishermen have either gone overboard or seen some horrific, like a fire or someone going overboard, it's just trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma, and they get less support than other occupations because most of us have a human resources department at our job that we can go to. And so what we did, given that that doesn't exist for the fishing industry, is we created offices in port towns that are staffed by members of fishing families who are trained as community health workers, and they create the sort of human resources department that supports the industry.
And, you know, you have these preconceived notions. People have these ideas, this romanticized version of what a fisherman is. And, you know, that they can take anything that comes at them and they're used to going out there and facing all of these challenges. But as you're saying, you know, you can see how some of this stuff affects them on a personal level. And they really need somebody that can understand. You can't just come back if you've seen trauma out at sea. You can't just come back and talk to an average person about that because they don't understand necessarily what that situation was like.
That is exactly right. So being able to go to someone who really does understand, who's within the community, we have all of our offices are staffed by navigators. That's what we call our community health workers. And they're from fishing families. Many are fishermen themselves. So they know what fishermen go through. They know what the needs of the families are. And then they're trained as community health workers, so they know how to address those needs. So they start there, and then they're able to help fishermen sign up for healthcare coverage. Then they're able to help fishermen attend safety trainings. We have a program to train young fishermen into the industry. So we have kind of a focus group that's built into our model. We are able to learn what the needs are and then just support the community to address those needs.
So what are, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we're in a different time, a different era. What are some of the challenges that are facing the fishing community these days that are weighing on them and that are causing them some of these stresses?
Well, you know, there are forces, everything from competition for their fishing grounds. So we have the advantage of being in one of the most fertile fishing grounds in the world. What that means for our people is that, you know, if you go and drag your net through an area, people who put their traps there can't put their traps there. So there's competition with each other. Then there's competition with other uses of the ocean. So, for example, when whales come in, the lobstermen have to get out of that area. Wind farms come in, and that's going to cause a disruption to the fishing industry. So it's really everything from, is there enough bait available, all the way up to, is the ocean going to be there when we need it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to simplify everything and bring it down to, you know, what's presented in a Hollywood film, but I think a lot of people got an inside look at the fishing industry by watching Finest Kind, and they say, I never realized just how stressful it can be to somebody to go out there and, like you said, things that are not under your control. You can see federal regulations that change almost on a daily basis. You never know exactly how to plan for the future with that. And if you can't plan for the future just to be able to make a living, how can you really plan for the future to be able to do that job effectively and get the benefits that you need out of it as well?
That's absolutely right. I'll give you another cool example. You know, fishermen can have a bad year, have a vessel, you know, lose an engine, because their income is down, they get eligible for MassHealth, Medicaid. They can go out and catch one or two tuna that can be 20, 30,000. I mean, I think the record tuna sold for $3 million.
Wow.
And they're not eligible for Medicaid anymore. So they don't know it, though. You can go out to sea, catch two fish, and lose your eligibility because you make too much money.
That's amazing.
You know, fishermen don't get into this work because they love filling out health insurance forms or even, you know, going through their mail every day. And so it's not just fishermen. It's, you know, independent workers who have high rates of pain and injury on the job just have so much coming at them that they are on the lists. Fishermen are among the workers in this country who are most likely to die on the job, most likely to die by suicide, most likely to be uninsured. And it just goes on and on. And it's because of the nature of the work. It's not because of the individuals.
And it's not the kind of work that you should be working through the pain.
No. I mean, no work is. But certainly, this is the type of work where we need to support people who are working out at sea just as we support people who are working on land.
So how do you get them that support? Is it a matter of, you know, they come to you and they're looking for it, or are you out there actively, you know, reaching out to the crews of these boats and saying that we're here for you as a service if you need us?
Both. So, and that's the reason why we're here today. I would love for anyone within earshot to go to our website, fishingpartnership.org. And if you're within earshot of this, you probably know a fisherman or you may be a fisherman. So, get to our trainings, call our navigators. The schedule is on that website. Our contact information's on that website. And so, yes, we need to get the word out. At the same time, our navigators, again, they're from fishing families. They literally and figuratively know, speak the languages of the fishermen. And so, you know, they're going out and finding fishermen wherever they are as well.
I mean, not to make a pun, but they're networked.
Good.
You can use that. That's totally fine.
Appreciate it.
JJ, thank you for joining us and for enlightening us on this, for something that I can tell you in all the years I've been reporting on the fishing community here at WBSM, something that never really entered into my mind is the type of support that they would need in this regard. So thank you for joining us and for enlightening us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. And again, that is the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. Thanks to South Coast Health for helping us shine a spotlight on some of these great organizations in and around New Bedford. And we'll be bringing you more of those. So glad that we can bring them to you and let you know about these different services that may be available to you. And I love telling you about things that are going to make your life better and things that are going to make your life easier. And one of those things is obviously taking laundry off your plate, right? So that you don't have to worry about doing laundry anymore. I hate doing laundry. It is my least favorite thing to do out of all the chores. I actually don't mind washing dishes. I actually don't mind sweeping and mopping the floor. I actually don't mind cleaning the shower, all this other stuff that's going to get done. But the thing that I hate is laundry. And to be honest with you, I don't even mind washing and drying it. It's the folding. The folding is what drives me crazy because I'm not good at it. and the clothes end up coming out wrinkled anyway and all that. So what I did is I just stopped doing it altogether. I let Dash Laundromat do it for me. Dash Laundromat, located at One State Road in Dartmouth, right there on the same plaza as the Shaw Supermarket. It's really easy to get to, but you don't even have to go there because they will pick up and deliver your laundry if that's what you want them to do. They also do have lockers outside, so if it's easier for you to just pull up, open up the locker using the Dash Laundromat app, leave your laundry in there, let them know what you're looking for, whether it's wash and dry fold, same day service, next day service, whatever it is that you need, you let them know on the app. They take care of it all. They put it back out in a locker. You come back in, open it up with your app again when it works for you. You don't have to be there during the hours that they're open and closed. And that's huge for me because, you know, a lot of times I'm leaving bowling after Dash is already closed. So I can just have them put it in the locker and then I can go pick it up. So if that's an easier way for you to get your laundry done, you can do it that way. If having them pick it up or drop it off is an easier way, they'll do that as well. And they've rolled out their new subscription plans as well so that you don't even need to think about it. You basically sign up for this monthly service. You pay one price every month, depending on how much laundry you need to have done. And then it's that simple. You just put it out. They'll pick it up. They'll wash, dry, fold it. They'll bring it back. Boom. That easy. So why are you wasting time doing your laundry when you could be getting it done at Dash? To find out more, go to dashlaundromat.com or download that Dash Laundromat app and make sure you follow them on social media. They've always got great information for you there and some fun stuff as well. You're going to get it done with Dash. All right, I've got to dash over to a commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments. What I mean. What I am is a dope because I was just talking with Jason, who is our guru when it comes to all the programming stuff, even though it's not really his job anymore. But he's like, well, you don't have to run Best of Howie. We can go right to the satellite programming, like on a vacation day, on a day off, on a holiday. So we're going to go to that at 9 o'clock for a couple of hours. And then we'll have Barry Richard back at 12. Well, Bill O'Reilly at 12 and then Barry at 12:15. But we will bring you, I think at that time, I think it's Mike Gallagher. But at least it'll be, you know, some live programming for you to listen to. And it'll get you through your morning. It won't be as great as if Chris McCarthy was here with South Coast Now, but he'll probably be back tomorrow. Chris, as you know, with all of his health issues, he's just got to play it safe. But he's also really cautious because he doesn't want us to come in here and make him sick. So he's really cautious when he's not feeling well about not bringing it in and spreading it around, which I appreciate very much. Because, you know, if I have to go to the hospital like I did last week and spend a couple of days in the hospital, that's one thing. But there's nothing more annoying than picking up a cold from everybody sharing the same microphone. Because that takes forever to shake. And there's nothing scarier than when somebody loses their voice. Actually, the last week, Michaela Johnson on the MGM show on Fun 107 in the morning, she had lost her voice. And Christina Schallhoop from ABC6 was in, kind of hanging out with everybody. And I heard her ask them, you know, well, what happens if you know, both of you are sick, if two of you are sick? And Michael Rock said, well, thankfully, that's never happened. In all the years, I was like, uh-oh, I hope you didn't just will it into existence by bringing it up. Knock on Formica. Although they've got three people. So if you got three people, chances are at least one person's healthy enough to come in and do a show. Here on WBSM, we're flying solo. So if I wasn't here, you'd have the intern right now. So it'd be the Austin show, which I think he's ready. I think he could do it, but, you know, he doesn't know how to operate everything. So that'd be the challenge. All right, let's go into the newsroom now and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump says Mexico and Canada tariffs will happen. AI will determine if some federal workers get to keep their jobs. And an American flag at Yosemite goes viral.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says tariffs against Mexico and Canada will move forward. It comes as a month-long delay of their implementation expires next week. Speaking with French President Macron at the White House, Trump said they're on time with the tariffs. The two countries could see 25% tariffs on all exports starting on March 4th. Pope Francis showing a slight improvement in his condition and resuming some of his work activities. That's according to an update from the Vatican. The 88-year-old remains in critical condition with pneumonia in both of his lungs. The update said the Pope's lab tests have improved and he's had no major episodes. The early signs of mild kidney failure that were reported on Sunday have shown no cause for concerns. Responses to the email that asked federal workers to list what they accomplished at their jobs will be read by AI. Sources tell NBC News that replies to the Elon Musk-directed email will be fed into an AI model, which will determine if their jobs are necessary. The report says the information the workers submit will go into an advanced AI system that understands, generates, and processes human language. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management sent an email to government employees on Saturday asking them to list five bullets of what they accomplished last week. Musk posted on X that failure to respond to the email would be taken as a resignation. Yesterday marked 3 years since Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. It came as Ukrainian President Zelensky said over the weekend that he would step down if it meant bringing peace to his country. He added he would willingly trade his position for immediate NATO membership. The nation has been heavily dependent on U.S. military aid in resisting Moscow, but that aid may be gone under the Trump administration, and its soldiers face exhaustion. Russia controls about 20% of Ukraine's territory at the cost of hundreds of thousands killed and wounded.
The first time ever I saw your face.
Grammy-winning R&B singer Roberta Flack is dead at the age of 88. Flack's career took off in the 1970s with the hits Killing Me Softly with his song and The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Her representative said Flack died Monday morning, surrounded by family. She earned 6 top 10 pop hits, along with 10 top 10 R&B songs in her career. She became the first artist to win the Grammy for Record of the Year in back-to-back years in 1973 and 1974. And photos of an American flag hung upside down from a peak in Yosemite National Park have gone viral on social media. Brian Shook reports.
Photographer Brittany Colt captured the moment the group unveiled it over El Capitan.
It took me a few seconds to process that it was upside down because they were still hanging it.
A group of Yosemite National Park staffers have claimed responsibility for the stunt. They said in a statement that it was to protest what they called an attack on public lands and mass layoffs. Nearly one dozen of the park's full-time staff members were fired as part of a nationwide cost-cutting effort by the Trump administration. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors tonight, and Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Maple Leafs. Both games at 7 o'clock.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly cloudy with a few light evening showers. A high of 51 degrees today. Partly cloudy on Wednesday with a high of 50. On Thursday, cloudy with showers possible, a high of 52. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Till I hear it from you. Maybe I don't want to take advice from fools. I'll just figure everything is cool until I hear it from you.
Welcome back in, and you know, and till I hear it from you, that's kind of the approach that Isaacson Solar uses about coming to your home to tell you about solar. They wait until they hear from you. They wait until you ask them by going to isaacsonsolar.com and requesting that they come by. They're not going to come knock on your door like these other companies. They're not going to come and try to, you know, force their way into your home and, you know, knock on your door, and when you're hiding out and they keep knocking and say, I know you're in there. I can see somebody's moving in there. There's a car in the driveway. That's not them. They are not. They're never going to come and knock on your door. They only come to your home if you ask them to. They only come. They wait till they hear it from you that you are interested in finding out more about solar. And it's going to help you save money. It's going to help you feel better about the environment and global warming and all of that. But the most important thing is it's going to give you that peace of mind that you don't have to worry about how much those electric bills are going to go up, because you're going to just see yours go down and down and down until eventually the electric company is paying you for the power that you are generating. So to find out how it all works, you just got to set up an appointment. Go to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and have them come down to your home, tell you if you're a good fit for solar, plan with you where you can put the solar panels, and get the process rolling. IsaacsonSolar.com. So there's some controversy happening in a Massachusetts town that I wanted to bring up and discuss, because I think people are getting wrapped up in the why this whole thing is going on, and it's not the why that's the issue, but it's the how. Let me explain. So in West Boylston, Massachusetts, they recently hired a new town administrator. They hired this person, James Ryan, and I guess he wasn't on the job very long when he was being given a tour of the police station. And when he was in the workout room, like the police gym, he saw a Trump flag hanging up, and he didn't say anything at the time, but later on he reached out to the police chief and asked him to remove the flag due to, you know, the fact that it's not, you know, it's a town building, and as the town administrator he's in charge of the town buildings, and, you know, we don't want political statements on town property. Now apparently West Boylston doesn't have an ordinance or bylaw about that, but you know, this is just kind of common sense. You don't put up your own political views on town-owned property. Fair enough. And I guess the chief considered it a fair request. He had it taken down. The chief went on vacation. Apparently, some of the officers put the flag back up. And here is where the problem starts, is this town administrator, James Ryan, sent someone in to the police station to see if the flag was still up, and saw that the flag had been put back up, and brought that information back to the town administrator. And now the town administrator has been removed from his job. So they had a, what do they call it? Do they use select board, board of selectmen? What's their term? Well, they had a hearing. I'm just trying to see. The town select board. Okay. So the town select board had a hearing, and they made the decision 4-1 to remove James Ryan as the town administrator. And he said, you know, Ryan even said, I can admit I would have handled things differently if I could go back. He regrets butting heads with West Boylston Police Chief Dennis Minich, but maintains he had a right to request that the Trump flag be taken down from the police station gym. But he said that the two should have worked it out privately. And that's the issue, is that he sent someone in to kind of spy on the police to see if it was happening. That's, and so the select board had a debate and decided that Ryan, this is according to WCVB, that Ryan had lost too much credibility and trust to continue on, and in the end decided to fire him. So they just probably had this search to find a town administrator. I don't know how he was hired, if he was, you know, I don't, doesn't sound like he was an internal hire, like he's somebody that has a working relationship with these folks, because they talked about how this relationship is damaged now, and that the trust in Ryan is damaged. But it's not about, you know, so this is going to get, you know, blown out of proportion. People are going to say, oh, well, you know, the because of this Trump flag, this guy got fired, or, you know, because he didn't like a Trump flag, blah, blah, blah. It's not about the Trump flag. That's not part of it. I mean, it's part of it, but that's not why this decision was made to remove him as town administrator. It's because he violated the trust of a department head that he is supposed to be overseeing with this kind of sneaky tactic. And so the select board felt like that wasn't, you know, that the relationship had been damaged and that the town administrator had lost credibility. And so now you're going to have all the departments worried about, well, is he sending people in here to spy on me? And while he was right in the fact that, yes, you shouldn't have a Trump flag hanging up on town-owned property, I don't know that the police gym, the police workout room, is the place where I'd be concerned about that. If somebody was putting it up on the flagpole outside of the police station, you know, that's a different story. If somebody was concerned about it, you know, like here at Town Square Media, I don't think we should be hanging a Trump flag in the window of the studio. But Barry has Trump paraphernalia hanging up in his office that people have given him. Yeah, that's his space. You know, that's his place. Let him decorate it the way that he wants to. That's not the company taking a political position. That's Barry just decorating his office. And, you know, the same way I have, you know, pictures of the Lizzie Borden house and, you know, poltergeist posters and all kinds of stuff hanging up in my office. Wrestling stuff and things like that. So, and I feel kind of the same way about the police workout room. You know, that's kind of their space. The public isn't coming in and seeing that room. I'm assuming, you know, I don't know if they have windows that face out into the main lobby or something, but that's kind of their space. And while if I was coming in as a town administrator and I saw any political flag, whether it be, you know, a Trump flag, a Kamala Harris, a, you know, whoever their congressperson is, I would say, you know, that doesn't belong up there. But I think if I went into like the locker room or the workout room or even the break room, I don't know that I would feel that way. If somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm a police officer and I don't like the fact that I got to go and work out in this room that there's a Trump flag, well, then you've got an issue. But if nobody's bringing it up and nobody's having a problem with it, I don't think it's a fight you have to cause. But this person, you know, this James Ryan guy, he wanted to kind of be strict about it. But the fact that he was sneaky is where the issue lies. The fact that he sent somebody in to spy on and make sure that they were following up, that's where the issue lies. So it's not a matter of it being a Trump flag or anything to do with that. It's all just a matter of trust, as Billy Joel sang. You know, it's just a matter of trust. Let's take a phone call, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Timothy. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, so freedom of speech, right?
But not on town-owned property.
Well, let's look at it this way, right? Let's look at if somebody's running for, let's say, union rep, right? And I've seen it, where you see bumper stickers, you know, or flyers inside of a building. Should that not be inside of the building?
Well, I think that might be a little bit different because that pertains to the people that are there. So that, you know, they might make an exception for that. But I think by the blanket rule, and again, I guess West Boylston doesn't have any ordinance or anything on the books about it. But by the blanket rule, I would say it's probably not a good idea. But at the same time, like, where are you going to campaign otherwise? You know?
Right, exactly. But at some point, you got to realize the maliciousness of that town official, you know, sending somebody in or even trying to make that decision, say, hey, you got to take that down. And somebody did take it down, correct?
They did. But that's his job as a town administrator. So if somebody went and hung that up in the town library, he would, you know, say mm-hmm. the same thing. And I'm sure if somebody hung up a Kamala Harris flag would be redundant, would be moot at this point. But if somebody hung right. that up, I'm sure he would have said the same thing because it's, you know, a political statement on a public building.
So like Christmas tree or nativity scene, none of that stuff applies. I mean, there are towns that do put up nativity scenes and, you know, there's been some pushback.
Mm-hmm. We had it happen here in New Bedford when people went and put the Baphomet cutout in the display at Klasky Common.
Right. And so, I think he was looking for trouble. And he thought he was the new sheriff in town, and he ruffled some feathers. I mean, especially going into a gym, you know, where the police officers work out. And I mean, yeah, he was just looking for trouble and he deserved what he got. And that's it. That's why we live in a democracy. And if he got voted out and if people came around and said, you're out of here, you know,
by the same token, though, I would say that whoever hung the flag up and then went and put it up again is, you know, equally at fault because they should have known better than to hang it up in a publicly owned building, especially after they were told not to put it up there again.
I understand that, but it's remember that there was a student that had a religious shirt on, I believe, and you know he caught a lot of flack too. So, I mean, when does it stop? When does it stop that you can't even have a T-shirt on?
Well, and
you know
if,
what I'm saying?
If they had taken, so this was obviously I'm assuming a Trump campaign type flag, you know, the Trump right. Make America Great Again type flag.
Sure.
So if they had just hung up a photo of Donald Trump as, you know, his presidential portrait instead, I don't think right. anybody would have had a problem with that because, you know, that's a picture right. of the president on a town owned building. But it's because they right. must have used a campaign material that it became an issue.
Yeah, well, I think you got to pick your own battles and, you know, kudos to the town for doing what they did because I wholeheartedly believe that freedom of speech is that. If I want to wear a hat, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, and you've seen it, you've seen people that are Satan worshipers, right? You know, they'll put up a display or say whatever they want. Nobody says anything. Nobody makes them take it down. Again, it's you're expressing yourself. You're expressing your beliefs.
But there is some kind of natural limitations to that when you are doing a job for the public. So, for example, you know, a police officer can't walk around with a MAGA hat on. They can't even, a police officer shouldn't even be wearing a Red Sox hat if they're out there, you know, in uniform.
Well, if he's working, yeah, absolutely. If he's working, he shouldn't be. Absolutely. Now, I agree with that. But as far as the flag is concerned, I mean, even if you look at the people who, you know, desecrate the U.S. flag, right? They can do it. But there could be consequences also. So for me, it's definitely a freedom of speech thing. And I think the town has, you know, set something up where, you know, I shouldn't say, or I'm not going to say that everybody should just go stop putting stuff all over the place at every town or city hall.
Well, and that's why they make this rule.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it totally. But something that was innocently put up there inside of a gym, I mean, it wasn't like it was in the front entrance to the town hall or the, you know, police department. You know, they just put it up and there's nothing wrong with that.
But
he was looking for trouble.
You'd feel the same way if it was a pride flag or something else.
Well, if they let's face it. I mean, especially living in a liberal state like we do, we see it all the time. We see it all the time. And I don't see anybody calling them out and saying, hey, you need to get rid of that. I don't see no town officials going out or police chief saying, hey, you got to take that down. But this guy was looking for either that or he was trying to throw his weight around. I don't know. He probably thought he could do it and he had enough clout. Well, you know, he's got to be careful. He's got to be careful. So it's freedom of speech. Tim, the way you got to look at it, right? I don't have anything against anyone, right? But when you take that away from me also, right? When you tell me that I can't have a Trump flag, then that's wrong. That's wrong. I don't tell you to take down your...
Nobody's taking away your freedom of speech, but it's an agreement that you make to take a position that you are going to be apolitical in that position. So it's not... Nobody's telling you you can't have your right to your opinion. What they're telling you is that you have a position that doesn't allow for you to put that on display.
I kind of get it.
The people sitting there, you know, registering... the people sitting there running people through to vote on election day... They certainly can have their political opinions, but they've made an agreement in taking that position that they're not going to display those.
Right, absolutely. Just like you can't, you know, there's a certain distance they can be when people are coming in for voting and stuff, you know, with signage and everything else. Totally agree. But that itself inside of a workout room, you know, a flag that was up there, I mean, he was definitely something else, you know, to go in there and saying, hey, you got to take that down. That was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. I could see if it was in the entrance or, you know, where it was blatantly just put out there. Yeah, I totally agree. It shouldn't be up there. But everybody has a right to walk with your baseball cap on, right? Into any town hall or police station, right?
Depends. I mean, it depends on, you know, what's going on and what the situation is. They might ask you to take it down. But I got to hold you there. We can get into this another time. I got to take a break.
Yes, sir.
You have a good day. I do have to take this final break. We'll be back in just a few moments to wrap things up.